T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I was thinking and listening to some of the news stories this week, and I really thought that I wanted to hear more about this particular form of cancer. I know it's a downer to talk about cancer, but let's face it, we're all dealing with it in our lives. Almost everybody has, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a friend or a loved one who's either succumbed to cancer, who's battling it, who's taking medication to try and prevent, you know, another incidence of cancer. And one of the cancers that we've been hearing more about is one that I hadn't really heard that much about, and it's pancreatic cancer. Alex Trebek, of course, the longtime host of Jeopardy, looked like he had beaten it this summer, and then it resurged after he stopped taking the medications. And now Representative John Lewis, who is one of the heroes of the civil rights movement, he announced this past week that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And we are joined now by Dr. Joseph Leach. He's an oncologist with the Minnesota Oncology at Abbott Northwestern Hospital to talk to us about pancreatic cancer. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure.
All right. Let me ask you, first of all, how common is pancreatic cancer?
Well, pancreas cancer is not as common as some of the cancers we're more familiar with. So it's not as common as things like breast cancer and lung cancer. So it is the seventh leading cause of cancer in the U.S., so about 50,000 people a year in this country get diagnosed with breast cancer. But the impact that it has, because it is such a deadly cancer, is much higher. So it's actually the third leading cause of cancer death in this country, even though it's not the most common.
Well, and that's why I wanted to ask you about it, because you know, Representative Lewis announcing he's already at stage 4. First of all, the pancreas, what does the pancreas do in our bodies?
Yeah, so the pancreas I think of as sort of the hub of our digestive system. So it does two really important functions. One is that it produces hormones that are necessary for life. So insulin, I think, is the one that we're most familiar with. So people with diabetes have a pancreas that's not functioning in producing those hormones. But the other role that it plays is producing digestive enzymes to allow us to digest our food. So it sits in a really important location, just nestled right in the middle of our abdomen, surrounded by a lot of very important structures and really big blood vessels, which makes it very dangerous because it quickly can grow into really important structures and really hard to diagnose because it is so deep in our body, you can't really feel it even on an exam.
Wow, okay. And how big is a normal adult pancreas?
Well, if you were to put your finger right under your rib cage,
okay,
it basically extends right across your abdomen. So it's about the size of a small fish, I'd say.
Small fish. Okay. Well, this is the land of 10,000 lakes. We all can visualize that. Why is it so? And you mentioned one of the reasons it's so difficult to detect is because it's so far inside you. So you go for your checkup, and the doctor's kind of pushing and poking at you, and you're not going to say ow because you can't feel it, right?
Well, so there are lots of reasons why it's so sneaky. Part of it is because you go in for a regular checkup and the doctor gives you a clean bill of health, but the reality is you could have pancreas cancer and there's no way your doctor could know. It doesn't show up on blood tests. You can't really feel it. You know, I see lots of people with pancreas cancer, and I've seen people with stage 4, and I can't even tell that they have cancer from examining them because you just can't feel it because of where it lives.
Wow.
And so we also don't have a screening test for it. So we don't have the equivalent of a mammogram or a colonoscopy just because of the anatomic location of the pancreas. So it really is a sneaky cancer. And then the other thing is the symptoms that it causes are really nonspecific and really common. So, for example, a really common symptom of pancreas cancer is it causes pain in your back. I mean, how many people get pain in their back and dismiss it?
Me? Yeah, I mean, I think everybody gets pains in
exactly.
their backs, you know, but just sort of a regular pain in the middle of your back?
Well, in retrospect, a lot of people who've had it realize, looking back, that something was wrong. But yeah, it can feel just kind of like a nagging pain. But when it really gets going, it's often described as almost a knife-like pain, like someone is stabbing you.
Oh, okay.
But by the time it gets that bad, usually the tumor is pretty far advanced. So it is really a difficult problem.
Right. So it's a pain in your back. I mean, I think that's really a tough one, because especially as we get older, I mean, I feel like my knees are kind of giving me a pain, but I'm like, you know, I'm getting older, you know. The knees are probably got a little arthritis in them or something like that. I mean, I think a lot of us, you know, are used to kind of living with a little bit of a pain.
Yeah. I guess the difference with it, and I mean, being a family doctor, frankly, is a really tough problem. I'm on the other end where I see people actually have been diagnosed, but how many patients does a doctor see every day who has complaints of back pain? The difference, though, is it is a pain that's typically not worse with movement. Usually if you've got a back pain, you know, it hurts if you're in certain positions or that kind of thing. It's generally nagging, so it is sort of always there and getting worse and worse. And so that kind of back pain, especially right in the middle of the back, kind of right above the belly button, that's the kind of back pain that's more worrisome. But oftentimes, I mean, how often do we dismiss that kind of symptom?
So it's a pain that would be, I see what you're saying, a little bit higher.
Right.
Higher on the back than it is supposed to that lower back pain that I think a lot of people.
Yeah, and higher and really persistent. So it often is there pretty much all the time. And you're not going to see anything abnormal on x-rays or those kinds of things like you usually do to evaluate back pain.
You wouldn't. So if you went in for an x-ray for back pain, you wouldn't see it if somebody had pancreatic cancer?
Yeah. So a lot of times I see people who are diagnosed who've actually been to the chiropractor. You know, so of course they've got back pain, they go to the chiropractor, and the treatments just aren't helping. Or they go to see a physical therapist, or they go to see the regular doctor and get x-rays of their back, thinking that there's a problem with the back. Those things aren't going to help because there's nothing wrong with the back. The pain is actually coming from an organ sitting in front of the back, and it's causing referred pain, kind of like how people, when they have a heart attack, they feel it in the arm, even though there's really nothing wrong with the arm. That's just where the body's experiencing the symptom.
Right. So how do you, somebody has this nagging back pain, which I think couldn't be more common for a lot of people.
Yeah.
How do you diagnose it, or how do you actually pinpoint it? If it doesn't show up in blood and all
right.
of those things.
So the problem is you have to go looking for it. So usually it's a constellation of symptoms. So again, because of the function of the pancreas, the other symptoms that someone often has when they start experiencing this is, along with the back pain, they may start noticing that their appetite's not quite as good as it used to be, or that they're getting full faster than they used to. And a really ominous sign is if people start losing weight without trying. So if you're having back pain along with other kinds of symptoms, the only way to really find out that there's a problem is to get a scan, typically a CAT scan.
Okay, and then that can do it. So one of the things, the key things, losing weight without trying, which I think for most people doesn't happen. So if that suddenly happens, you should be aware of that. And when it gets to that point, is the problem that it's already so advanced that nothing can be done?
Not necessarily. So one of the problems with pancreas cancer, again, because it is so sneaky and we don't have a screening test, a lot of times it has spread by the time it's found. So I don't know anything specific about Alex Trebek or Representative Lewis's case, but stage four means the cancer has gotten into the bloodstream and spread to other organs.
That's Representative Lewis, and I think Alex Trebek as well.
Right, yeah. So when they say stage four, that's what that means. But if we can catch it before that's happened, then potentially we can cure it. So the only way to cure pancreas cancer is to surgically remove it. And to be able to do that, it has to have not spread to other parts of the body. And then really importantly, it has to not have invaded structures that we can't remove, like arteries and other really important structures that live right by it.
So when you talk about removing, are you removing the cancer or do you remove the entire pancreas?
You know, it depends on where it is. So the pancreas actually has different parts. Most pancreas cancers start in what's called the head of the pancreas. That's really kind of the business end of the pancreas. That's where the pancreas deposits all of the digestive enzymes into our small intestine. That sits nestled right up against the liver. So, frankly, one of the most common ways that we diagnose someone with pancreas cancer before it spread is when the tumor pinches off the little drainage tube called the bile duct that empties the liver into the small intestine, and then they get jaundice. Obviously, something's wrong then, so people go see the doctor. So if we can find it and it's growing in the head of the pancreas, then we can surgically remove just that portion of the pancreas and then the small intestine around it and then leave the rest of the pancreas.
That's the best scenario.
That's the best scenario, right? Honestly, the best scenario is when someone has a CAT scan for some other reason and we just happen to find out on accident. That actually, you know, happens occasionally. But otherwise, it's best if someone comes in with symptoms, before the cancer has gotten into the bloodstream and spread.
And why would somebody have a CAT scan for another reason? What are some of the reasons you'd have a CAT
scan? Well, we do CAT scans all the time now. You know, so if you go to the emergency room with any kind of concerning symptom, it's a good chance you're going to get a CAT scan. So,
and that will catch it?
Sometimes by accident, right? So sometimes by accident, just because the pancreas happens to be in the field of the scan, they'll see the tumor there.
Wow. Okay. And then you can remove the tumor, and hopefully you've got it in time. Why is it one of the deadlier cancers?
Well, one of the problems.
Or one of the deadliest, I think, is what you
said.
Yeah.
There are a couple problems with pancreas cancer. One of them is this whole business of it's really sneaky. You can't feel it. You can't go in and do a pancreas exam like you do a breast exam.
Right.
And we don't have a screening test. So one of the big problems is just so many patients are diagnosed at stage four.
Oh, okay.
The other problem is just the neighborhood that it grows in. So a lot of times, even if the cancer hasn't spread, it has gotten into really important structures that we just can't remove with without removing structures you can't live without. So sometimes even if it hasn't spread, we frustratingly still can't remove it. And then the third is just the biology of the disease. These tend to be cancer cells that are really resistant. So for other kinds of cancers, we have all these sexy new kinds of cancer treatments like immunotherapy and targeted therapy.
Right.
We just don't have anything like that for pancreas cancer. It's really chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, kind of the old standbys. And so all of those things lead to a really tough cancer to get rid of.
Wow. Okay. And it's, you know, when you think of just all the advances in medicine these days, I mean, that there's no screening like the colonoscopy or something like that, which is, I mean, that's so specific where they can tell you you've got, you know, certain lumps that are not, you know, cancerous and you should come back because it's just an unusual number. I mean, it just seems so specific and so high tech.
Yeah.
And to think that they have nothing there. Is there any kind of work being done to change that? I mean, has let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Alex Trebek, obviously a beloved figure, and he's been very open about it. He talked about how his initial treatment, he was all excited because it looked like the cancer was in remission. And then so he went off the meds and then it came back.
Right.
And, you know, he struggled with that ever since, and it's definitely back. But has his talking about it been made any kind of difference in terms of awareness?
You know, I really think it has. You had a great point that most people just aren't familiar with pancreas cancer because it doesn't get much publicity. And I hate to say it, one of the reasons it doesn't is because there's so few survivors. I mean, there's no one who's a better advocate for cancer than someone who's beaten it. You have lots of women who have beaten breast cancer, but we just don't have many people who have beaten pancreas cancer. So it has really been fantastic that he has raised a lot more awareness of it by his being so open about talking about his own experience.
Right.
So there is a lot of work being done to try to figure this problem out. And so, again, because the location it really is challenging to screen, there are some patients we do recommend screening for, and that's patients who are genetically at risk. So there are some people who are born with a high risk of getting pancreas cancer.
Oh, okay.
Typically, if they carry a gene called the BRCA gene, so we think of that as causing
is that the
breast
BRCA?
Cancer. Yeah,
is
right.
The BRCA gene?
The BRCA gene actually increases risk of pancreas cancer.
Oh.
And it's a significant risk a lot of people aren't aware of. And so we actually do now recommend screening with a type of scope that goes down with an ultrasound to look at the pancreas annually for people that we know carry that gene and have a family history of pancreas cancer. So the other thing that's changed,
let me just get into that because the BRCA gene is one that people who have a history of breast cancer in their families. I mean, I think people have heard about that and people making the decision, in terms of just even before they get cancer to have, you know, a double mastectomy. I mean, that's a biggie. But I hadn't heard of it in terms of identifying or signaling other cancers. Is it just pancreatic cancer and breast cancer that the BRCA gene seems to signal?
Yeah, so the other big one is ovarian cancer. So breast cancer and ovarian cancer are the ones that we've known the most about for a long time. We're, I think, just recently paying a lot more attention to the risk of pancreas cancer in that patient population. In fact, just last week, a drug specifically for patients with BRCA mutation and pancreas cancer was approved by the FDA. And so it's really important if you are a BRCA carrier, and especially if you have a family history of pancreas cancer, that you talk to your doctor about getting screened, because we do think it makes a difference in that population.
Okay. So if you have the BRCA gene for which you would have to be screened,
right?
How much does that increase the possibility of your getting pancreatic cancer?
So there are different kinds of BRCA mutation, actually, but the risk can be fivefold higher if you have that gene than if you don't. So it's a pretty significant risk.
And it also increases your risk of breast cancer, and you mentioned ovarian cancer.
Right.
I don't think most people are getting screened for the BRCA. I mean, I actually do know people who have gotten screened for BRCA whose mothers have had breast surgery and who died at an early age, and so they've gotten screened and they've determined that they do have the BRCA gene. But are a lot of people these days getting screened for BRCA? I mean, I don't think it's something that's been offered to me. I mean, my mother did not pass away from breast cancer,
yeah.
But you just never hear that as an option, really, or do you? I mean, I guess I feel like I don't, but. And this would be obviously for men, too. I mean, are men going into their, physicals and the doctor saying, hey, you might want to get screened for that BRCA gene. We know it's, linked to breast cancer, but you didn't know that it's also linked to pancreatic cancer.
Yeah. So probably not. So if you go into your primary care doctor, they're probably just not as familiar with this as they should be expected, not necessarily to know about that. We are really proactive, though, when people are diagnosed with pancreas cancer. So we actually recommend every single patient, no matter family history or age, with pancreas cancer, get screened for BRCA, because that's really how you're going to identify people at risk, is when someone gets cancer, identifying those who have it so that their entire family can get screened. So the other people who should think about getting screened, obviously, are people who have a family history of those kinds of cancers. So if you have a family history of pancreas cancer, I mean, I think it's important to ask, does anybody else in my family had other kinds of cancers? And if so, I think it's worth talking to your doctor about getting screened.
Right. So in other words, somebody comes into you that they're diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and you say, you really should get tested for the BRCA gene. So they get tested. They've already got it.
Yep.
If they are positive, does the rest of the family then kind of go, Dr. Leach says, he's got the BRCA gene. Maybe we all have the BRCA gene.
That's exactly right. So that's where you can make the biggest impact. So unfortunately for the person with the cancer, it's too late, but you have a chance now to identify all of these other people related to them who you can be more proactive with.
Okay. We're chatting with Dr. Joseph Leach. He is an oncologist with the Abbott Northwestern Hospital. We're talking about pancreatic cancer. It's the cancer that Alex Trebek has, and now just this past week, Representative John Lewis, of course one of the heroes of the civil rights movement, announcing that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. You mentioned how deadly it is. Is it because once you're at stage 4, the options are pretty limited at what you can do?
That's part of it. The reality is most cancers at stage 4, at least most solid tumors, things like lung cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, I mean, frankly, we don't have cures for any of those cancers at stage 4, so that's not particularly unique to pancreas cancer. But the difference is exactly what you said. We just don't have as many treatments. We have a couple of different kinds of chemotherapy regimens for pancreas cancer, and that's unfortunately about it. And so there's been a lot of work to try to find better treatments for pancreas cancer, so it's so important for patients who get pancreas cancer to be willing to participate in clinical trials when available. But right now, we just don't have as many bullets in the holster as we do for other kinds of cancers, and so people just don't live as long because of that.
Do women get pancreatic cancer?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
It's a little bit more common in men, but it definitely happens to women too.
Okay, and are there any ethnic groups that tend to get it more than others?
Well, getting back to the BRCA mutation, the ethnic group that's most at risk for that is actually Ashkenazi Jews, and so we actually recommend that most people of Ashkenazi Jewish heritage get checked for BRCA. It's more common in Western populations, and that probably has more to do with our diet. So we definitely see it more in developed parts of the world, like, the U.S., than in places that don't have the Western diet and Western lifestyle that we have.
Right. Is that because of the diagnosis is better, or is it because of the Western lifestyle and diet that we have?
It's probably the Western diet and lifestyle, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really that's really fascinating, and it is fascinating to me that there isn't that same kind of diagnosing of tools that we all, you know, just sort of take for granted, I think, that modern medicine has, that there's nothing really for pancreas cancer. And that's part of the problem. Yeah. Not yet.
That is a part of the problem, yep.
All right. Well, listen, Dr. Joseph Leach, thank you so much. This really has been illuminating, just talking about this type of cancer, and you've got two prominent individuals with it who are talking about it, and a credit to them for speaking out about it. But we really appreciate your time and your insights.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. That's Dr. Joseph Leach. He's an oncologist at Abbott Northwestern Hospital with Minnesota Oncology. Fascinating discussion, and really amazing that there isn't any diagnostic tool. You think that they would have tools for everything these days, but yet they still don't.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.